Now it's time for Food Friday. Cheesecake is one of the most decadent and popular desserts around, but a lot of us might think making a great cheesecake at home is just too much of a challenge.
But with the right techniques and some practice, there are hundreds of different varieties you can make for friends, family, or just yourself.
And if there's anyone in the world that's baked more cheesecakes than our next guest, well, good luck finding them.
George Geary is a chef, author, and culinary educator who spent years making cheesecake, including for television's The Golden Girls. His latest cookbook is the second edition of the Cheesecake Bible. George, welcome back to Central Time.
Oh, it's great to be back. How are you all?
Well, good. And George, you've cooked a lot of different things in your lifetime, but you have legitimately, you may be the person who's cooked more cheesecake than any other human on the face of the earth. How did cheesecake become your thing?
I have no idea. It was by accident, honestly. I just, you know, everybody has something, and I passionately love chocolate, and I was trained as a pastry chef. But then I started looking at cheesecake differently than what was out there in books and things like that. And I took the knowledge of making about 300 cheesecakes a day when I was Disneyland's pastry chef to the home. And I just was sick and tired of listening to people tell you how you can create it from cracking and nothing working. So I thought, you know what? There needs to be a book out there. So I did my first book 12 years ago on cheesecake, and I've had three since.
Well, George, you released the original Cheesecake Bible over 12 years ago, and now you've expanded it into the second edition. Does it still surprise you to this day just how many varieties of cheesecake you can put together?
Yeah, I added another 150 to the new book.
Wow.
Then I started seeing different chain restaurants like IHOP do cheesecake pancakes and things like that. And I thought, huh, I could put this into the new book, too. So it's a cheesecake plus sweet and savory recipes for cheesecakes and more. So you've got a lot more things in there, different muffins and things like that. There's a whole chapter on breakfast foods.
George, you mentioned the whole cracking issue, and that for home cooks is the biggest frustration with cheesecakes. I'll eat them. They still taste the same. People can dump them off on me if they don't like how they look. But what is the solution to help keep cheesecakes from cracking in the oven?
You have to read the first two chapters of my book. No, honestly, I only get about 85% non-cracking. And everybody has their own way of doing it, and they think it works. And really, 85%, I'm pretty good at it. I feel that if it does crack, you just put whipped cream on top. And if anybody judges your baking, don't invite them over. And that's kind of, because I've never heard somebody go, oh, that cracked.
I'm not going to eat it.
And yeah, and there's a big chain of restaurants named something with that word. And if you look at all theirs, they have a topping of some sort on every single one of their cheesecakes.
Aha!
And so that's a little bit of a secret. I've done some consulting for that company. And they also, I see my favorite thing is the way you use the oven. And people will say, you put it in the oven at 500 degrees, you turn it off, and you let it sit there overnight. Could you imagine Disneyland having ovens just for cheesecakes that could sit all night long? And we couldn't do it. And nobody wants to make a recipe that's going to take longer than, you know, for a baking, an hour is the max for somebody. So I just created this different way of, I don't use a water bath. You hear that all the time. A water bath is another pan that it sits in to create steam. And people say, oh, that'll prevent cracking. It doesn't. I've done both tests both ways. So I took the water bath completely out of the situation because I want people to get into the kitchen. It doesn't take a whole lot to do a cheesecake. And I really think that if you follow my techniques, which isn't anything strange, it's making sure all the ingredients are room temperature, incorporating the eggs in one at a time. Don't just dump them all into the cream cheese. Don't bake over 350. That and overbaking is probably the number one reason why things crack. I even read in the newspaper article, somebody quoted me, which was incorrect just this past week, that adding a chocolate into it will create it to crack. And I thought, no, that's crazy. You know, so you got to have chocolate and cheesecake sometimes. So there's just all these little factors that equal a pretty good cheesecake. But I would say number one is overbaking.
Now, George, as a cheesecake lover myself, One of the keys for me has always been the crust. And I know that crust is something that you can play around with quite a bit. But how do you go about matching the crust to the flavor of the filling?
Well, that was a new thing in this book, too. I used to just say use Oreo cookies or use lemon sandwich cookies for a lemon cheesecake. And I started finding people couldn't find lemon cookies, or they found them and they were really expensive, you know, gourmet lemon shortbreads or something that was $4 for a box, and, you know, you might as well buy a cheesecake after a while. So the first chapter in the new book, some people call it the New Testament, since it's the Bible, has a whole chapter on making your own cookies. If you really want to go crazy, you could go ahead and use Oreos or make this chocolate cookie I have in there. I kind of give you a hint on what cookie goes best or crust goes best with which cheesecake. Your typical is graham cracker. And the other thing with regular recipes I'll see is graham crackers, sugar, butter, and you bake it. I took that out also. Why are we putting sugar in the cookie crust? We already have it sweetened, so there's an ingredient I don't need to add into my recipe. And why are we baking it? The proteins of the cookie crumbs are already baked out, so, and they're going to bake in the cheesecake some more, so I don't bake the cheesecake ahead of time. And if you look at all the pictures in the book, I don't go up the sides of the pan. I just do the bottom and that's it. Because if you go up the sides, you get like a big thickness between the side and the bottom of the cheesecake. And some people can't get their fork in there and they just leave it. And that was a test thing when I was at Disney at our private club. After the weekend and I was off on Monday and Tuesday, I'd go in and the chef would say, "No one's eaten the sides of your cheesecake. What's wrong with it?" And then I realized the fork couldn't get through the crust, so why not? Why waste all that time and energy of going up the sides and trying to scrape it out? So that's why. So that's about how we do the crust. I kind of pair it up. Fall, I use a lot of ginger snaps, graham crackers for your typical cheesecakes, and then chocolate if I've got something chocolate or mocha-based, lemon if it's a citrus-based, or something of that nature.
We're talking with George Geary right now, a chef and author of the Cheesecake Bible.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a question about how to make a great cheesecake? Are there problems you've run into? What do you wish you knew about making cheesecake when you started? Or do you simply have a favorite type of cheesecake you want to share? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We've got three recipes that George shared with us. You can find them at wpr.org/foodfriday.
We'll pick up the conversation in just a bit. Stay with us here on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Darrell Conner. We're continuing our chat with Chef George Geary right now. He's the author of the Cheesecake Bible.
You can join in at 800-642-1234 on this edition of Food Friday. Do you have a favorite cheesecake to make or to eat? Are you a pro when it comes to cheesecake, or do you need some advice from George on getting it right? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Before we go to our callers, George, I want to talk about one of the recipes you've shared with us. We've got them at wpr.org/foodfriday. One is a caramel pecan cheesecake. Pretty straightforward. I want to hear about this Maui tropical cheesecake you gave us. This sounds like a fun thing to eat on, I don't know, a day when the temperature's not going to hit zero in Wisconsin.
I'm so sorry about your temperature today.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Southern California with orange trees blossoming right now.
Yeah, rub it in.
No capped mountains. So, yeah, I have a short sleeve shirt on. My people I know, because I work in almost every state of the union, they don't like me when I post on Instagram. But the tropical Maui cheesecake, I put that together after going to some of the South Pacific Islands, because I was in Fiji and in Samoa and America Samoa, and they do these different cheesecakes down there with a lot of their fresh fruits and stuff. And I know you can't get fresh pineapple everywhere, so we used canned pineapple in it, and we used papaya for the decoration and stuff. And it's really, really flavorful. And you think you're kind of healthy because you've got all this fruit in it, even though it's got a lot of cream cheese. And I put macadamia nuts as the crust. And this one's a little bit different from the one that With using cookies, because you're using macadamia nuts and some flour to bind it together, and you toast those ahead of time with some sugar, and then you put that together. So it's a really flavorful cheesecake.
That sounds great. Let's go to our callers now. We've got Pat on the line in Sturgeon Bay. Pat, hello.
Hi.
What did you want to ask about, Pat?
I'm attempting to master the cheesecake with a raspberry glaze and then covered with chocolate ganache. But I just can't seem to get the ganache right. It always seems to be too thin and it doesn't harden up. What am I doing wrong?
Oh, that's a good question, a ganache problem. And I always, when I was being trained by a French pastry chef, when he'd say ganache, it had such a thick accent that I kept thinking he was sneezing. So I'd say, bless you, and he'd look at me and think I was crazy. But the ganache recipe that I use, I think I have one in the cheesecake book, it's equal chocolate as it is to heavy cream. So what I do is I look at the chocolate. Now the problem is with what you're probably having is because chocolate percentages have changed over the years, and they give us the numbers on the packaging. It didn't used to be that way. It used to be bittersweet, semi-sweet, and milk chocolate, and that's about it. Now you've got all these percentages. So I would use a 60% chocolate, and the amount that you use, if you use 8 ounces of chocolate in weight, I'd use 8 ounces of regular heavy cream. And put the chocolate in a dish, chop it up, take the heavy cream, don't stir it, put it in a saucepan till it starts stand right next to it. It comes up the sides and starts almost going over. Pour it into the chocolate and stir it, and then add a tablespoon of butter, a little bit of liqueur if you want, just a tablespoon at the most. Stir it until it gets very melted. It'll look like hot chocolate for a while, and then it'll keep it'll bind together. And at that point, you can use it and pour it. And you could let it sit just for a little bit to where it firms up just a tad. If it firms up too much, you want it to firm up on your cheesecake, not in the bowl. So if you make it in the morning and you think you're going to use it in the afternoon, you'll have to put it on a double boiler and with some steam and mix it, because you don't want to put it on direct heat. So that should work for you.
Thanks for the call, Pat. Let's go to Mark in Wauwatosa. Good afternoon, Mark. Welcome to Central Time.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking the call. So years ago, my mother used to, mother and aunts, you got these little recipe cards from this dairy delivery guy. And one was for a baked cheesecake, and the other was for a frozen cheese tart. And it had the baker's cheese and, you know, egg yolks folded in. And it was never baked. It was frozen, but it was wonderful. That was like our Easter time treat. It was very fluffy. You know, it had the gelatin in it to kind of get everything to coalesce a little bit. And I was just wondering what George's take was on the frozen cheese tart.
What my take on see, that's where they use gelatin instead of eggs to firm it up. And I had in my very first cheesecake book, I had some gelatin-based. I think I still have some in this one, too. And it's a different flavor and texture. What you have is memories of childhood and things like that, and I tried to put that into the books and all the books I do, because people do remember those types of cheesecake. It might not be the favorite of somebody else's, but it is of yours. So I've done many cheesecakes like that, that we use a gelatin as and then you freeze it also, the whole thing, and then you sometimes you eat it right frozen. Was yours eaten frozen?
Yes, it was frozen, and I think it was frozen because that sort of helped with the eggs, because there were eggs in this, and it's actually, I've made it
there was some.
Years since. Yeah, but it's very light and fluffy, and it's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's those memories that we just love, that we need to keep.
Mark, thanks a lot for the call. I wanted to ask George, before we run out of time, you've got a whole chapter on savory cheesecakes. We've got one of those at WPR.org/Food Friday. You also have one like a lobster cheesecake, which just sounds weird. Sell us on this idea of non-dessert cheesecakes, of the savory stuff.
Well, when I was teaching in Texas, I was testing recipes back 18 years ago, thinking, is this book going to work? Because that's what I do first, is I take it on the road before I bring a book out. And some lady, she says, is this like a cheese ball? And I was like, no, it's not like a cheese ball. Because no one had really heard of baked cheesecakes back then. And I was kind of hoping that company that I did some consulting for would bring on some baked cheesecakes. If you bring a savory baked cheesecake to a party, people will think, wow, what is it? Because people kind of get tired of the same thing as appetizers or as a first course. So the one that we have on the website is the herb cheesecake.
Yeah.
And we're just using some fresh herbs. And it doesn't have a whole lot of sweetness in it. It has a little bit of sugar, just a little bit, and some egg. And it's baked. The crackers that I use for the crust are the same crackers that you'll dip into. So if you use a stone garden cracker, which is listed in the book if you want to make one or buy them, and then you put crackers around like a little 6-inch cheesecake, and you dig into it, almost like a cheese spread almost, but it is baked. I do have a few that aren't baked, but I have like a pistachio blue cheesecake that's phenomenal. And the lobster one that you mentioned, I joked and I said, if you have lobster left over, you can make this cheesecake. And my editor said, who has lobster left over? Are you crazy? So I don't know if we kept that in, but...
No, it's still there.
Okay. So it just has a different factor. I love taking them or serving them. The number one savory cheesecake in the book is, and nobody knew what they were at the time, 18 years ago, Chipotle chili cheesecake.
Ooh.
And it's got a little bit of a spice to it and a kick, and it's got some tomatoes and some herbs and the Chipotle chilies. And people are like, what are Chipotle chilies? And now... chains are using that in their hamburgers and stuff, but it really is a great cheesecake.
Sounds great. George, thanks for joining us again. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's George Geary, chef and author. We've been talking about his new book, the second expanded edition of the Cheesecake Bible. You can find a few of the recipes we talked about online at wpr.org/foodfriday.